chapter 5, and we'll take all of chapter 5 down through chapter 6, verse 7. Okay? And this will be our last lesson in Leviticus, I think. Or well, it might not. I've been thinking about going over to Leviticus chapter 23 and just going through that chapter one time. Maybe. I think I can get through it one time. But don't want to take two. You know, whatever. Three. Okay. There's really seven lessons in Leviticus chapter 23. There's seven. Oh, and they're pretty good outlined there. But I doubt if we'll do all that. But we might. We'll see. Okay. Leviticus chapter 5. The last lesson. The trespass offering. All right. And we've studied, this is the fifth one, okay? Chapter 1 was on the burnt offering. That is, typifying salvation. Chapter 2 was on the meat offering. That is, a thanksgiving offering. And that's a good time to be thankful, right after you're saved. And then, chapter 3 is a peace offering. Got all kinds of peace. But you're not saved very long until you wake up one day and there's a sin. Chapter 4. Sin offering. You say, uh-oh, I've sinned. Okay, you sin against God and some of His commandments. Done it, of course, through ignorance. And then it's not very long until chapter 5 comes along. And now you've committed a trespass. Now, as far as the difference between a sin and a trespass, there's not a whole lot of difference. Okay? The sin he's talking about in chapter 4 is more applying to a sin against God that you commit through ignorance. Okay? A trespass, on the other hand, is a sin that you commit against a person. That's generally the difference. Okay. Now, and I have to say this. You can't hardly sin against a person without sinning against God. I mean, that goes together. But it is possible for me to sin against God without directly sinning against a person. Okay, that's pretty technical, but that's kind of the way it is. And if we keep sinning against God, it won't be long, we'll be leading everybody astray, and that's sinning against people too. Okay. Now, these trespasses are divided down into two parts. Chapter 5 includes a trespass against a person that you have committed in total ignorance. You just didn't know you did it. But you have to make it right. Okay. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, is a trespass offering that you commit against somebody and you know you're doing it when you do it. But you just hope you get away with it. And that's a saved person, by the way. That's a saved person that does something against somebody and they just hope they can get away with it. So you think that's possible? Well, is it? Think about it. And we'll go through that when we get over there and you'll see. These are not devious things at all, but it's rather some small, minute little things that we deal with every day. Okay. One thing we want to notice as we go through these offerings. So you remember last time we talked about the sin of ignorance and how that there were different sacrifices that the different levels of people gave. All right. For example, the priest gave the bullock, and when the congregation was wrong, they gave a bullock. But when the ruler came along, it was a less expensive sacrifice that they gave because of the different influence. Okay? When it comes down to the trespass offering, it's not like that. There is no graduations at all of the offerings that are given according to the position the person holds. In other words, when I trespass against you, I would give the same offering as if you had trespassed against me. You'd give the same offering. Okay? If one of you trespassed against one another, you give the same offering. It's exactly the same. Okay? So now, let's think about that a minute. You got what I'm talking about. If we sin against God through ignorance in chapter 4, there is a different type of sacrifice that you give because of the different influence that a person holds. But if we just sin against one another, it's the same sacrifice. Okay? What that means, well, the reason for that is this. I am a human being, and that's all I am. I know the position I hold is different than yours, but that's all I am, is a sinner saved by grace. And that's exactly how you ought to look at me as a person. That's all I am. The position that I hold, you ought to look at in a special way. But me, that's all I am, is a sinner. And that's where it is with you. I should look at you as people. And the position you hold is one thing, and you as a person is something else again. And so, you know, we're equal as far as that's concerned. As far as people, as far as worshipers, there's no difference. When I come to church, I want to worship God as your pastor. I want to come and worship God. That's what I come for. And when I come and I sit and I sing these songs, I want to worship God when I sing. That's what you ought to want to do. Now, when we come here together, I can worship God when I preach. I hope you can worship God as you listen. You see, we're doing the same thing. We're just doing it a different way. Because somebody has to lead. My part in this thing is to lead you in worshiping God. That's my purpose of being a pastor. To lead you into greater and greater ways of worshiping God. We're doing the same thing. And I'll tell you something else. Church members can help a pastor a whole lot. Or they can hurt him a whole lot. One way or another. That's just the way it is. And so as you look to me for strength, I look to you for strength. That's where it ought to be. And so that's where we try to make it. Okay? Now, let me say something else before we get into this. As we read these things, especially down in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, we're going to read a lot of different kinds of sins, of trespasses. Okay? When we get into chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we read about different types of sin, trespasses. Okay? That doesn't mean that's all there is. There's lots more little things that we get into than that. So we don't want to be guilty like the Jews were guilty of saying, well, let's see, there's 6 trespasses against people and that's it. We don't do that. Because there's lots of different ways we can hurt somebody. Okay? And so we want to not go by the letter that's written down here, but rather by the spirit of the law that's taught. Okay? Now let's read. And I guess the best way to do this is just to read through let's read down through verse 13 first, because this is really a separation place or dividing. Then in chapter verse 14 down through verse 19, we get into the sins and the holy things of the Lord. But this is verses 1 through 13 will just be the kind of sin that's talked about. So verse 1, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness whereof he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, or if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then shall he be guilty. Then shall he be guilty? You mean if he don't find out about it, he's innocent? No, he's still guilty. And that's taken care of later on in chapter 5. Verse 4. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he had sinned in that thing. Okay, so verse 1 through 5 is just a list of some things that a person can trespass against one another in. Verse 6, down through verse 13, tells the type of trespass offering that he shall bring. Okay? Now, there's several types. There's three types, really. Verse 6. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. Okay, that's number one. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, he's not rich enough to afford the lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer them over that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, and shall not divide it asunder. He shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. He shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But now we find somebody in verse 11 that's poorer than that. They can't even afford two pigeons or two turtle doves. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an heptath of fine flour for a sin offering. That's about 2 quarts. Not much. And he shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. You remember, if he brought the meal offering, they put oil and frankincense on it, oil, the Holy Spirit, frankincense, sweet prayers. But not in this case. It's a sin offering. Don't put anything on it whatsoever. Verse 12, then shall he bring it to the priest. The priest shall take his handful of it, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar. According to the offerings made by fire to the Lord, it is a sin offering. The priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin, that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. Okay, so he'll eat it as if it was a meat offering. Let's go through these first few things here, and then we'll start in verse 14. Verse 1. This is really a touchy little thing here. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. When I was growing up, they called that tattletaling. None of the boys wanted to be a tattletale. What does the Bible say? It said you better tell. So you mean to think we ought to tell everything that everybody does is mean? No, not to be mischievous or not to be just mean or to get somebody in trouble. That's wrong. But to tell things that, let me put it like this. If you know that somebody is purposely doing something that is wrong, you have an obligation to make it known. First to that person, and if they don't hear, to somebody else. Isn't that what it says in Matthew chapter 18 or 16? One of those two. See, we have an obligation to tell. Say, well, people will think that I'm just out spreading malicious stuff. It's according to how you tell it. It's according to what you do with it. You could be gossiping. It's according to how you say it. It's according to why you're saying it. But sometimes people that are doing things that are wrong and people know it's wrong, it ought to be told. Because that person can go and hurt somebody else. Or that person can continue in that same old business. And so it needs to be told. Why? So that person will stop doing it and they will learn. It ought to be done with love, with compassion, and with fellowship. I mean, and so here he says, if a soul sin, the Bible said it's a sin. If you hear it, And you just keep it quiet. You know? And so, it's wrong. Verse 2. Surely verse 2 doesn't apply to us. Uncleanness? We don't have anything to do with that anymore. Surely we're done with that. And, you know, clean and unclean animals, we don't have to worry about that. Or touching a dead body or something like that. We don't worry about that anymore. Well, now look what he's talking about. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, there is an uncleanness, even today, that we ought to stay away from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible said in this place, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's what he's talking about over there in the book of Leviticus chapter 5 verse 2. We don't need to mess around or play around with things that just look like they're evil. And they're really not. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I heard that in Oblong, Illinois, there was a couple of preachers that would walk down the street and they would holler at one another across the street. And they would, one would say, "How you doing this morning?" "Not doing very good. You know, slept with Arthur last night." So, well, everybody knows what that means. Yeah, arthritis, you know. "Oh, I slept with old Rumi." You know, rheumatism. Why'd they say that? You know, it's just playing around stuff you ain't got nobody to play around with. Saying things, leading things, there's no sense in it. That's what he's saying, abstain from all appearance of evil. I mean, don't put on like there's something dirty going on when there's not. There's no sense in it. There's no sense in doing that. And we make a joke, we make a mockery of Christianity when we do that. That's why he says here in verse 2, Leviticus 5, when you come up to any of this uncleanness, stay away from it. That's what he's teaching. That's the principle behind the Jews staying away from all that. Be a separated people. That's why he put up all them clean and unclean animals. That they might be a separate people. And we ought to be separate from it. And have no appearance of it whatsoever. Okay? Look in verse, that's verse 2 and 3. In verse 4 of Leviticus chapter 5, we don't have any trouble with this today, do we? Surely not. In verse 4, it says, if a soul shall swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it be that a man shall pronounce, and if he hear from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Well, I think we find a New Testament scripture that goes along with it. It's the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3, and look what it says. And verse 6. James, chapter 3, and verse 6, one I want to read. The Bible said, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The New Testament counterpart to Leviticus, chapter 5, and verse 4, James, chapter 3, and verse 6. You can get in trouble by following what your tongue says. That's what he's saying. Read with me now. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 4 and see that the principle that he's talking about is exactly the same. Verse 4. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him. How could it be hid from him if he said it? How many of us have said things, and then somebody say, "What?" And you say, "What did I say?" We've all done that. And that's what he said. And sometimes we'll be in a fit of passion, either one way or another, and we'll say things, and we really didn't know we said it. A fellow told me one time in church, he's going to punch my lights out. And when confronted with it privately,
He said, I didn't say that. He said, we got witnesses. We know you said it. He said, I don't know what I said. See, we all do it. And if we're not careful, we'll have our mouth open before we get our brain in gear, and there ain't no telling what's going to come out. See? And just because that fella did it don't mean I won't or you won't. So here in the Old Testament is a man that said something and didn't even know he said it. And somebody brought it to his mind, and he said, uh-oh. And we do the same thing. Now, we don't bring an offering to the Lord at all, but he's already been paid. But we go to him in prayer and ask the Lord to forgive us. But see, that's a trespass because people are involved. Somebody heard us say, you know, I'll bet you $10 you can't do that. You know, somebody heard us say that. And they did it. They stuck out their hand. What do you want? I want $10. Why? You said, you know, you got to fork over, I guess, or, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't know I said that. And watch our tongues, you know. And so, when people are involved, we have to take care of those things. Well, when he brings these offerings, and there's three types of offerings, and we'll just mention these three. Of course, the female from the goat, a lamb or a kid of the goats, that's in verse 6. And the way that they give the offering is, of course, not like the burnt offering. They don't lay their hands upon it and all of that kind of thing. They just simply give the offering. I forgot verse 5, and we need to cover verse 5. It says in this place, and it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. Remember last time in the discussion about the sin of ignorance, that when the person brought the sin of ignorance unto the priest, and he put his hands on it, and he killed the animal, they skinned the animal, that never one time did he confess what he had done. Never. That was because it was to the Lord, and the Lord knows. But whenever you trespass against somebody, even though you also trespass against the Lord, you must confess that thing, whatever it is. Okay? It's not just confessing we're sinners in general, but rather you're confessing that particular thing. Why? Because a person is involved. What we're doing here is going up to a person and saying, I'm sorry. That's what it means. I didn't think about what I was saying. And I didn't mean to hurt you. And that's as far as you can go. That's all you can. And remember now, we're not talking about chapter 6. We'll get over in a minute. That's different altogether. What we're talking about is sins of ignorance. That you trespassed against somebody and you did not realize you did it. All you are responsible to do is to say, I'm sorry. And mean it, of course. That's it. You can do nothing else. Okay? You make your offering to the Lord, and you go on. That needs to be made right. Okay? Now, the offerings, of course, in verse 6, we talked about those. The first one, the female from the flock, and he brings this to the priest, and it's an atonement for his sins. And of course, the person doesn't lay his hand on the animal. None of that. You know, he just brings it up and says, here it is. I've sinned in a certain thing, and here's the animal, and it's all taken care of there. In verse 7, he doesn't have enough money to bring a lamb, so he brings these two turtle doves or pigeon, and one is for a sin offering, and the other is for a burnt offering. Of course, there's forgiveness of sins. They're there. The burnt offering is to remember Calvary. And the sin offering, of course, is rolling forward that sin unto the day of Christ. Verse 9, the blood is sprinkled at the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It's a sin offering. You know, it's not poured out or burnt on the altar. It's there on the side or at the bottom. And then, of course, the
burnt offering is not for salvation, but rather just to remember Calvary, and the joy of salvation is now returned. And so there's only one burnt offering, of course. That's given a long time. No such thing as a person being saved twice, just one time. But there is such a thing as restoring the joy of your salvation again. Okay? Now, verse 11 through verse 13 is an offering without blood. This is so rich. It reminds me of what Paul said in Hebrews. And he says, Hebrews what, 9? I'll have to read it now. I can't think what it said. If I can find it. And almost all things, here it is, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. That's Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And here is where a trespass offering is cleansed without any blood, because its forgiveness comes by grace anyway. And they want the people to know that it's by grace and not just because they gave this blood offering. But they bring the 2 quarts of fine flour. It's a sin offering unto the Lord. They don't put any oil. There's no Holy Spirit there, because Holy Spirit has no part to do with sin. There's no frankincense or sweet savor, no prayer going up to the Lord, because prayer and sin just don't mix at all. And so there's none of that. And they take a part of it, put it on the, and burn it up on the altar for a memorial, or that is the part of it. And then they eat the rest. The priest gets the rest. It's a meat offering. Okay? Now, verse 14, down through verse 19, this is a little different topic. It's still a sin or trespass of ignorance, but this is concerning the holy things of the Lord. Okay, so let's read verse 14 down through verse 19. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespasses unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with a ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. Okay? Another topic, verse 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him according concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Two things there. They're both holy things of the Lord in verse 15. And when they sin in this, he shall bring a ram. Pretty expensive thing. This one is. Because it's a holy thing. And he's caused it in a spiritual matter. If you led somebody astray in a spiritual matter, it's a great thing. And so that needs to be taken care of. And of course they bring it to the priest. And the priest, he won't accept it if there's not a 20% fine levied on it. I mean, that ought to make folks think. You're going to have to pay more than just the ram, add 20%. But there's another catch. It must be, the ram must be valued at a certain price. He said, with thy estimation, as he says there in verse 15 and also in verse 17. And the estimation, according to the customs of the Jews, it was about 2 shekels. And I forgot how much that is. 2 shekels of silver. And I can't think how much that was. But it had to be a pretty good sacrifice. Now look in verse 17. Here is the place where that if a person trespasses against someone and they don't know it, they're still guilty. They're still guilty. And if you want to make those things right, then of course you must bring the ram. But we're going to have to hurry. In verse chapter 6, verse 1 through 7 is another part. And this is a part of the trespass against people that you commit and you willingly do it. Let's read those. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, hey, come over and eat supper. I ain't got time. I got to go somewhere. And you ain't got to go anywhere. Lie in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, that is its value, for a trespass offering unto the Lord. The priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. It shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. Okay, this is willful cheating, willful lying, willful whatever you do to hurt one of your brothers in Christ. And he's got a good long list. But see, these things are fairly serious, but they're not crimes. A crime comes under a different category altogether. This is a trespass against someone. And you'll notice the difference here. Whenever you have lied, he says, whether it's in something that you are keeping for someone. Yes, I kept your dog and it ran out in front of that car and got killed. I'm not going to tell that guy I shot him between the eyeballs because he barked all night. You know, you lie about it. No, you owe. Or in fellowship, you know, you refuse to go to someone's home or to have fellowship with them. You just tell a big lie about it. You don't want to do it. Or in a thing taken away by violence, and that's stealing it. Or hath deceived his neighbor. You know, you found something he lost and didn't tell him. Wasn't going to tell him. Thought you'd get away with it. And so, a lot of things like that. These are kind of small things, and yet they get to be pretty big if they go on. But he says, they've got to be paid for. And the person that does it gets hit 3 different ways. Number one, he's got to pay back all that he got. He's got to pay it every bit, the principal. Secondly, he's got to add 20% to it. If that's $100, you've got to pay 120. Pretty good chunk. Third, you've got to bring a ram to the Lord. So, I mean, that wouldn't pay. Not to willfully try to deceive or cheat or get something illegally or wrongfully. It would be pretty tough to do. And so, it just won't pay at all. Okay. So all these things that he's saying in this trespass offering is simply that we might learn to treat our brother as a brother in Christ. Treat him like we want to be treated. As it says there in the book of Matthew, you know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's what it's really all about. Learning to work to deal with people and call them friends, and have good, clean, Christian fellowship. That's what it's all about. And this is the reason that he has this trespass offering, so that the Jews will learn just to live in a Christian manner and be godly people. Okay. We're going to quit there, I'm thinking real serious about getting into Leviticus 23 at least one time, and kind of giving just a calendar year rundown. If you would, we got just a second there. Look in Leviticus 23, and you'll see what I want to get into. And you can read verse 2, and it'll tell you what it's all about. The yearly feast of the Jews, and it's real good. Speak unto the children of Israel and say, I'm Leviticus 23:2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. And he starts in. And so that's a real good study to get into. Lord willing, we'll take that up next time, Lord willing. If you're here tonight and lost, we say again, we've talked about these Levitical sacrifices, these five different types in the last five lessons we've given on Wednesday night. But in no way do we want to indicate at all that you must kill an animal or to bring its blood in that you might be saved or forgiven for your sin. Because all of these things were taken care of when Christ died on the cross. Can you picture in your mind one man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and did all the things and more that we've talked about the past five Wednesday nights. He did more than that. He took care of everything right there on the cross of Calvary and shed His pure, sinless blood that sinners like you and me could be saved. Tonight, if you're lost, if you know you're lost, then we'd urge you to look to the cross of Calvary, the blood that Jesus shed for you. Trust Him, and you can be saved, and you come and tell us about it, that we might also rejoice with you in these things, because salvation is real, your heaven is real, or your hell is real, your eternity. You're going to spend it somewhere. And you need to be right with God. Trust Him, and let Him save you, and then rejoice. Come and tell us. We'll rejoice with you in these good things that God can do. We want to stand, if you would, Brother Paul, if you come and lead us in the hymn of invitation. And if you're lost, trust Him tonight. If you're saved, then pray that God would touch hearts in this service tonight. Let's stand, please, as we sing.